Father, we praise you so much, and we thank you for your Son. Thank you so much that you have changed us and given us a desire to come worship you, that you've changed us and given us a desire to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Father, we thank you that you have declared through your Son that you sanctify us by your word, and your word is truth. That just as you speak us into existence as new creations in Christ through the gospel, you continue that process with your word, making us like Christ. Father, I pray as we look into your word today that we would not discredit it or discount it or disregard it, but that we would receive it and allow it to do its work in us. Allow you to do that work through your Spirit by your word. Bless your word now as it goes out, and may you be greatly glorified in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the book of James in our Wednesday night Bible study, and James is very clear concerning what is the source of our quarrels. If you ever want to know why we quarrel, why we have arguments, why we have disputes, why we have wars, why we have conflicts, James tells us. He says, what is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? And he's speaking to those who would have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, is not the source your pleasures, this is James 4, your pleasures which wage war in your members, isn't the source your desires? Isn't that what it is? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder, and you are envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You have not because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among us? It's our desires, it's our pleasures that wage war. And 15, 20 years ago within the evangelical church, we started to see some conflict within the area of music. We started to see those who wanted traditional services, and they wanted the old hymns, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the young people had come up and wanted more music towards their tastes. And we see the result of people's desires bringing conflict in the church. And what we see in almost every church these days are split services now, where you have traditional quote-unquote worship and contemporary quote-unquote worship. You have the older people's quote-unquote in the traditional services and the younger people in the contemporary. And the body of Christ is split because believers want to spend it on their own pleasures. And we see the sad evidence of that as younger people hang out with younger people and older people hang out with older people, in contradiction to what we'll see today in Scripture, where older women are to be teaching the younger women that we are one body, we are to be together. And we see because of our desires, things have been split and pulled apart. But I believe we're going to see today, as we look at different elements and different ages and genders in the Christian life, what we are to be in Christ. So with that in mind, would you turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Wonderful, wonderful chapter. And we're going to see how to live the Christian life. We're going to see as God's grace in Christ through the Word of God, sound doctrine, works in us, we are able to be who He wants us to be. And today we're going to look at what older women in Christ are to be. And we're going to see that it is not separated from the younger women in the body of Christ. With this in mind, I want to remind you of the wonderful context of the book of Titus. Paul is writing to his trusted, true child in the faith, Titus. Titus, a faithful man who served under the apostle Paul, who did what Paul desired him to do in the context of serving Christ. He was a faithful man. He was a Gentile. And Paul at some point in time had left him on the island of Crete to set in order what remains, to appoint elders in every city. They had a lack of leadership. And then we saw God's requirements through Paul to Titus for what godly leaders should look like. We saw they should be godly men who work hard in the Word of God, who oversee protecting the incredibly valuable flock of God from threats to the Word. They admonish And they teach with the Word of God, and they watch over the sheep, and they protect God's incredibly valuable sheep purchased with His Son's blood. We saw they needed to be those who hold fast the faithful word, that they may be able to, or given the power to, exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict, to silence the many. We saw there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers. We saw there are those who are teaching things they should not teach. And we saw that God, in His end evaluation of these people who had come in and upset households, that these people were worthless for any good deed. They were detestable. They were disobedient. But in contrast, He says, but Titus chapter 2, you speak things only fitting for sound doctrine. You speak the word of God. You speak sound, healthy truth from the word of God, Titus, in contrast to their bad teaching. And in chapter 2, we see a whole, and I've shared this. This entire chapter is one unit together, and we need to see it that way. I'm just going to give you a brief overview of chapter 2. Verse 1 is the sound doctrine, the foundation on how we are to be who we are to be in Christ. Verses 2 through 10, which we're studying, we're going through right now, and we'll get through the end of 3 and the beginning of 4, Lord willing, today. That is what we are to be in Christ. And then in verses 11 through 14, which I shared during the communion time, part of that, how can we be who God wants us to be? It is through the grace of God working through the Word of God, instructing us to deny these ungodly things and to live righteously and uprightly in this present evil age. That God has taken us, He has redeemed us as a people for His own possession. And then lastly, we have what sums up chapter 2, the warning not to reject these truths. Titus, let no one disregard you. Very important what God shares concerning what He expects from us and how He expects us to do it in Christ. Now, we've looked again here in chapter 1 and then 2, and now today we're going to be looking at older women. We saw the first portion of what older women are to be, and today, Lord willing, we will finish that out. And again, some of you are saying, I'm not an older woman, so I'll take a break here, and some are saying, I'm not even a woman. But I want to remind you here that although this is directed specifically at older women, it will apply to younger women. It's directly related. And younger women, Lord willing, if you are given long life, you will be older women. And men, there are principles in here that we see that apply to us in other passages of Scripture. So we need to pay attention, but especially older women. And I want to remind you also, we've seen older men, now older women. There's going to be younger women and younger men, and then there'll be bond slaves, and then there will be Titus' example. Now, although there are slight differences here based on age and gender, there are many common themes that run through all of these commands that all of us can benefit by. Okay, well, let's get started. Now, just in review, again, we need to see the foundation for what we are to be in Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, I'll read it again. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. And remember, we looked in depth at this statement. Titus was commanded to speak the things which were fitting for sound doctrine. Everything Titus was to say was to be fitting for sound doctrine. It was to be characterized by sound teaching, healthy teaching. Doctrine is what is taught. And sound doctrine is taught rightly and correctly from the Word of God. Only speak those things, Titus. And remember, we saw the context here. It is so simple. God uses His Word taught rightly, sound doctrine, to nourish us, to feed us in the context of a relationship with Christ so that we will be who He has called us to be, that we will be more like Christ. The foundation for our walk with Christ, practically speaking, in our everyday living is sound doctrine. The Word of Christ should be dwelling richly in us. He uses His Word to make us more like Christ in our everyday actions and behavior. And that is what we see here, the foundation. And then we saw in review what older men are to be. Verse 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. And we saw, biblically speaking, older men were those probably over 60 years old. We saw they are to be temperate. They're not to be controlled by anything other than Christ. They're to be dignified. They are to exhibit serious and worthy conduct that earns respect. All of this in the context of trusting Christ. And they are to be sensible, this word we're going to look at today, sophronizo. They are to be thinking rightly. Older men, dignified, temperate, sensible. And we also saw that in the context of the Word dwelling richly, they are to have a healthy, sound faith in Christ, which would manifest itself in love for the saints and perseverance in their walk with Christ. And at that point, we turned and looked at the subject of older women. And he says, verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. And what we will look at in depth today, teaching what is good. Verse 4, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. And we looked at this first half, and we'll just review that. We see older women are to be likewise. Now, there's no verb there in the Greek. There's no to be. And I believe the likewise points back to what older men are to be continually, habitually. It carries that sense down. Older men, the verb is are to be continually, habitually this way. And then this likewise carries that down. They're not to be like older men. They're to be these things that he will list. Older women are to be continually, habitually this way. Three things: reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. I think those are the first three things in one group that we looked at. And again, you're saying, well, what age is considered an older woman? Well, in 1 Timothy 5:9, we have the statement concerning widows to be put on the list. Let a widow be put on the list if she is not less than 60 years old, having been one wife. And he gives a whole bunch of requirements. Basically, if you're pushing 60 years old, God sees you as an older woman. Now, there's nothing wrong with being an older woman, as we will see. It's a blessed place to be because you have experienced life, whether new or old in Christ. You've experienced enough life to see the absolute emptiness of following yourself and your own desires. And you've seen, if you are in Christ, the blessing of trusting Him alone for His glory. So somewhere pushing 60, but if you're 58 or 59, I wouldn't disregard this. I would be paying attention. And if you're 10 years old, I would be paying attention. So what are older women to be? Again, I think there's two basic areas. The first area is exhibiting Christ's likeness. That's those first three things. Reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. And then what we will look at later today, what they are to be doing, teaching what is good. So let's review these first three things. He says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior. This is what God says you are to be in Christ. And that word reverent, if you'll remember, we saw, speaks of a sacred holiness, that which is holy. It is a sacred, holy reverence. And the sphere in which that should be manifest is in their behavior, their manner of life, their demeanor. When you look at an older woman in Christ, there should be a sacred reverence there. That's why it's so odd to see certain churches where older women are just jumping all over the place and they're yelling and screaming. You go, wait a second, that's not reverent behavior. Older women are to be reverent in their behavior, in all their behavior. Let me ask you this, older ladies. Are you a believer in Christ? Then you are to be reverent in your behavior. That's what you are to be. God is saying, this is what I want you to be. And younger women, this is what God wants you to be too. But older women specifically, reverent. This should be a characteristic of what you are when someone looks at you. Now, secondly, we saw that older women are also to be, in review, not malicious gossips. They're to have speech that is godly. They are not to be, the word translated here was diabolos. It is the word for the devil. And it's translated in the plural here, not the singular. It would be translated devil if it was singular. Plural, it speaks of his nature, which is the slanderer, the one who throws through. Women are not to be those who slander with their speech. They are not to be malicious gossips. It describes Satan's very nature. That's what he does. Women are not to be that way, older women. And none of us are to be that way. We looked at a myriad of passages concerning our speech as believers. And we see that our speech indicates where our heart is at. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. In the middle of that, he says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Older women, not malicious gossips. You are not to be like Satan. There must be a special temptation for older women, or we wouldn't give this specific command. Maybe it's the freedom of time older women have now that their families are raised. Maybe the loneliness in which someone wants to speak more. Whatever reason it is, you are not to be like Satan. Does your life exhibit any of the ungodly characteristics of satanic gossip? Or does it represent the godly characteristics of reverence? You know, if you are a gossip, you need to confess it. You can be forgiven right away. Step forward. Trust the Lord. When you are tempted to do that, confess it. This passage should convict you when you are irreverent. It should convict you when you are about to speak about something you shouldn't speak about. It should be used by the Lord in your heart to direct your path rightly. Then lastly, we saw that older women's desires must be under His control, as evidenced by a fact that they're not enslaved by much wine. Verse 3 again, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. The term enslaved to much wine speaks of being under subjection. And we looked in Romans chapter 6, it speaks of all of us. And we looked in Titus chapter 3, we were all enslaved to our lusts and desires. That's the state of mankind apart from Christ, is enslaved to our own desires. I can't get away from my own desires. That is my life apart from Christ. And older women are not to be enslaved to much wine. And most likely, I think this is a temptation for older women. And if you looked back in history in Crete, in other areas of the world, older women would alleviate loneliness and the worries of life and the pains of old age with alcohol. That's what they would do. Older women, you're not to be like that. And today, older women certainly may be tempted to relieve the physical and mental difficulties that come with old age by alcohol, or basically, as I shared, by the unfortunately accepted Christian alternative of antidepressants and pain pills. You may be tempted to be controlled by something else to alleviate your problems rather than Christ, rather than trusting in Him and praying in every way and believing that He will give the peace that surpasses comprehension. Older women are to be reverent in their behavior. They are not to be malicious gossips, and they are not to be enslaved by much wine. And folks, anything that enslaves you apart from Christ is cruel and harsh. Sin promises pleasure or relief and brings you death. Older women in Christ are not to live this way. In short, older women are to be holy and reverent in their behavior. They are to have redeemed speech. They are to not be enslaved to much wine or controlled by booze or drugs, but controlled by Christ. And I want to ask you, older women, does this describe you? If so, praise God. Press forward, not looking back. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. But some of you failed, and just confess your sin. Don't look back. The Lord has allowed you to be guilty so that you will come before Him and confess it. Confess it. Move forward and be determined in Christ to be like this. And let the Word of God control your behavior by His Spirit and power for His glory. Now, some of you might just take these things and say, okay, now I need to be reverent. Now I need to be this. Now I need to be this. Well, you can't do it on your own, and none of us can be this way apart from what He says later on in chapter 2, verse 11. And we need to look at that. He gives all these commands, older men, older women, all these commands. And He says, for the grace of God has appeared. That's how you're able to do it. God's grace has been manifest in Christ. You've been redeemed. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to 11, to all men. And now, present tense, it is instructing us through the word of God by Christ to deny ungodliness. That's to not be irreverent, to not be a malicious gossip, to not be those things. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. That's how you're able to be that way. He's instructing us now through the Word of God for His glory. So in review, older women are to be in relation to their character, this way. They are to be reverent in all their behavior, not malicious gossips, and they are not to be enslaved to much wine. Now, with that in mind, that's what older women are to be, but they're also to be something else, which actually manifests itself in what they do. Here is what older women are to do. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Verse 4, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. They're to be teaching what is good. We all ought to know what each other's roles are in Christ, right? Older men, younger men, all of us should know that. We're all commanded to admonish the unruly, right? Those who are out of step. We should all know what God requires and how God enables us to do it. And here we see older women are to be teachers or teaching what is good. The phrase teaching what is good is actually one word in Greek. It's a compound word, kalo didaskalos. It means teachers of good. Older women are to be teachers of good. Now, I don't think I need to explain what teaching is, but folks, unfortunately, it is so ignored in churches these days, and the resulting effect on younger women is manifest in lives that are in complete contradiction to what God has called younger women to, as older women either have been fearful in telling them what they should do, or they have been disobedient and stepped back from doing what God has called them to do, and younger women have not responded if they have, and we see the evidence throughout churches. As lives are totally out of order and God's word is blasphemed because people aren't living the way God says they should live. And our passage simply says, older women are to be teachers of good. Simple statement. It doesn't say formally. It doesn't say you are a formal teacher of good. It doesn't say informally. It just says teachers of good. First of all, before we get to what is to be taught, who is to be taught by who? Who is it the older women are to be teaching? Verse 3 again, older women likewise are to be reverent in all their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage their daughters. Well, no, it says young women. That certainly includes their daughters. But the older women are to be teaching the younger women as a whole. Older women teaching younger women. God says so. That's what you are to be doing. We wonder, what is God's will for my life? Many elderly people might say, where should I go? What should I live? What are we going to do? And God gives his will in much clearer, simple statements that we ignore for the sake of these things out in the future rather than obeying what he wants us to do in the present. Older women are to teach the younger women. That's who's taught. Older women are to teach the younger women. Let's get this clear right now. If you are an older woman, you are to be teaching younger women. Now we're going to look at how that flushes out in Scripture. There's no room for you to go on in your Christian life without this happening. Now, God gifts us and he gives us different commands, and obviously sometimes it can't happen immediately, but this is what God has planned for you. And I believe as you step out in faith and obey the Lord and are in the context of the body of Christ, God will manifest the women that he wants you to teach if you are obedient in other areas of your life. And you are to be teaching the younger women. Now, remember again, this is simply a command to older women in Christ, not older, mature women. You may be an older woman and say, well, I've just been a believer for about a year. I can't do that yet. It's not just for older women that are mature. It's for older women in general. Well, how could this be? How could immature women in Christ be doing this? Folks, by virtue of age, as I've shared before, older women, new or old in Christ, now that they are in Christ, can see the wasted years of following one's own desires and can now teach and exhort younger women to not do that, but to obey the Lord. This is what you are to be doing, and this is what we need to have in this body for a healthy body that is glorifying Christ. Well, what is it that's to be taught? What is it that's to be taught to these younger women? We see here, first of all, teaching what is good. Teaching what is good. This term kalo didaskalos means teachers of good. And in Greek, there are two words that are translated good. One is agathon and the other one is kalos. Agathon speaks of that which is morally or intrinsically good. Out of the 102 uses in the New Testament, 98 times it's translated good. Agathon just means good. And there's a couple times it's translated generous and kind and kind and kindly. But otherwise, agathon just means good, that which is good, morally or intrinsically good. But then we have this word kalos, which also speaks of good too. But it has the idea of being able to see that good manifest. It's a little different. Although kalos is translated good 79 times out of its 95 times in the New Testament, it's also interesting to note it's translated differently as better, commendable, excellent, fair, fine pearls, good pearls, fine, high, honest, honorable, right thing, sound, treasure, what is right and beautiful. It carries the sense of beauty, kalos, that you see something that's good and there is a beauty to that. And our word, our compound word, is kalos didaskalon. So we have this teachers of good, that good which is manifest as beautiful. It's a beautiful thing when God's people are doing what he says. It's a beautiful thing when God's people are obeying him. It's a beautiful thing when we see that. One pastor writes concerning this term kalos. He says the word kalos has the idea of beautiful. It was used by the Greeks about anything according to that which distinguished itself in form, excellence, goodness, and usefulness as to be pleasing. It can refer to something handsome, useful, excellent, suitable, commendable, excellent in its nature and characteristics, and therefore adapted to its ends. It's goodness that can be seen, goodness that strikes the eyes. Kalo didaskalos. That's what older women are to be doing. Teaching what is good that manifests itself in a beautiful way. That's what you are to be. You are to be beautiful in how you teach these things and teaching what is beautiful. So obviously, first of all, what is taught is this kalos, this good. But what specifically should older women be teaching the younger women? What specifically? Well, remember the context. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, Titus, speak things which are fitting for sound doctrine. It needs to be first and foremost the teaching in a healthy manner, sound doctrine. And then we see also that it is Christ, the grace of God, doing the instruction. Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to men, instructing us to deny ungodliness. Older women will be using the word of God, Christ working through them, instructing these younger women in this beautiful truth that produces a manifest good for the glory of Christ. And notice it's not to be disregarded. Chapter 2, verse 15. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you, Titus. That's what Paul says. Okay, so in general, the Lord God uses his word, sound doctrine, that is what is to be taught, and that is good and it is beautiful. But specifically, what is it that is to be taught from older women to younger women that is intrinsically good and can be seen as morally beautiful? What is it that is morally beautiful in the lives of young women? We're going to take a look at it over the next few weeks, but we're going to see there are seven specific things that older women should be teaching the younger women. Now, there's more to it than that, but seven specific things, and we will look at those, Lord willing, next week. But if you look at verses 4 and 5, the end of 3, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to, 1, love their husbands, 2, love their children, 3, to be sensible, 4, pure, 5, workers at home, 6, kind, 7, being subject to their own husbands. These things manifest in the life of a young woman are good and beautiful. That's teaching what is good. And older women are to be doing that. And we're going to look at these in depth. And if you're an older woman, you want to be here. You want to know what it means. You want to be able to teach these things to the younger women. And younger women, you want to know it. So when the older women teach it, you can know if it's right or not. It's something you're going to learn. And it's going to be part of your life. And it needs to be part of your life. So therefore, we see here we have now older women You need to teach what is good. Now, if you don't know what is good, you can't teach it. If you don't know what is good, if you don't know the Word of God, you don't look at this passage, you never looked at it, you never understood it. It's a pretty simple passage. And also, if you're not in the context of the body of Christ, you can't be obeying this command. Folks, God's Word, when lived out in the life of the believer by His power, is good and it is morally beautiful. What a privilege and responsibility you older women have in the lives of younger women. And before you take the weight of that on yourself, remember it's the grace of God working through Christ. Grace of God working through Christ that enables you to do it. Okay, so why teach these things? Okay, teaching what is good. We're going to look at these things specifically over the next few weeks. But why teach these things? Why is it that older women are to teach the younger women these things? Obviously, it's to give God glory. These are good things. But there's some specific reasons here in the text. Verse 4, that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands. The end of verse 5, that the word of God might not be dishonored. We have a Greek conjunction, hina, which gives a purpose, that, in order that, so that. And we have two purposes interrelated here. And the first purpose we see is so that, I believe, younger women will think and behave rightly in the Lord. And you're saying, where do you get that? Verse 4, that they may encourage. And we're going to look at that portion translated may encourage, because I believe it's very familiar if we see what verb it is. In order that they may encourage the young women to do those seven things specifically, sound doctrine. Now, it's important to realize that this phrase translated may encourage in the NASB, admonish in the New King James, and train in the NIV. It's translated a whole bunch of different ways. It's important to realize that this word is sophronizo. We've seen this word before, sophron, right? We've seen the word sophron. We've seen this word. The word here is sophronizo. And it means to cause someone to be of sound mind and to have self-control. It is very closely related to sophron. To cause someone to be of sound mind and to have self-control. It's related to what we saw in 1:8. Elders are to be of sound mind, right? 2:2, older men are to be of sound mind. 2:5, we'll see it, that the women are to have sound minds. And here, it is in order that the young women would be of sound mind, ultimately, we'll see. We also see it back in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that God is instructing us through His Word that we would live sensibly. So, sophronizo. Remember, this basic word speaks of being in one's right mind, thinking rightly, thus being sensible. But what am I saying? Older women are to be teaching what is good, that, in order that, for the purpose that, they may sophronizo, or cause the younger women to think rightly, and thus love their husbands, love their children, and go down the list. Teach them so that they will think rightly and thus do these things. Now, I really like the Young's literal translation. It's not always the best, but here I think it really captures this better. Now, the first part's a little bit literal here, but ride with me here. Aged women in like manner in deportment as doth become sacred persons, not false accusers, too much wine, nor enslaved of good things teachers. Now, here's the part that I really like. That they may make the young women sober-minded. That's what it is. I don't like our translations in the NASB and the New King James. I don't think they all capture. I think if you take all of them together, encourage, admonish, and train, and put them all together, that makes more sense. But it's so that they will think rightly. It is the teaching of the Word of God that causes us to think rightly and thus behave rightly. That they may do this. That's the reason. Okay, so I believe in context, older women are to be teachers of what is good so that they may encourage, admonish, thus train, bringing about right thinking, sound-mindedness, sound biblical thinking, thus proper godly behavior. And folks, we have so much wrong thinking in the churches these days. We have so many young women who are not thinking biblically, and it is exemplified by the way they live their lives and the way they raise their children. And older women, you are to be teaching them what is good. Older women must be teachers of what is good so that younger women will think rightly in accordance with sound doctrine, and behave properly in the most important human relationships, their husband, their children, Again, we have a lot of women not thinking rightly. Well, what's God's solution? Older women are to be teachers of what is good, so that the younger women will think rightly, so that they will think rightly. Older women, you have an extremely important mandate from God concerning what you are to be. And I believe when you stand before the Lord, part of His well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you hear that, is did you do what God asked you to do? If you live your life in Christ and you make it in by the smoke of your works being burned up, and you stand before the Lord and you haven't done this, there's no reward. God is not glorified through your life. And God is gracious, no matter how old you are right now, to share His word to you, to exhort you and admonish you to be who you are supposed to be. And you are to be teachers of good. It doesn't say formally, it doesn't say informally, it just says this is what you are to be. And I want to ask you, are you doing this? You know, it's our sinful fears that often cause us not to obey God. What if I was to mention something to that younger woman concerning her husband or her children or her not working at home or whatever it might be? What might she say to me? That's the fear of man. And Daniel, our little son, shared with his cousin this last week, the fear of man brings a snare. Folks, obey God graciously by His power and strength, and let the consequences lay where they may lay. Tell them you love them and you want to help them. You're not to be running around checking every little behavior. You're to be teaching what is good. And you will be Sarah's children if you are not frightened by any fear. Don't fear. Don't fear in your relationships. Don't fear. Fear God. Fear what God will say to you when you stand before Him if you are not obedient to this command. Fear God, not man. There's a great blessing. You have a tremendous privilege to be teachers of what is good. Well, some of you say, well, there's no one to teach what is good. Well, I would encourage you to be in the body of Christ, to be around believers, and God will manifest those circumstances. When we walk by the Spirit, He brings about those circumstances and the people that He wants in our lives. And I find so often as we just trust God and we're where He wants us to be, He manifests those opportunities to be the things He's called us to be. Just be obedient, be with the body of Christ, and you will see opportunities to teach what is good arise abundantly over time. That's what you are to be. Now, let me ask you again, are you doing this, older women? Now, some of you may be laden with guilt as I talk about this because you failed badly. You don't feel like you have a place to share with younger women about marriage and children and raising from the Word of God because you failed so badly. Well, your failures are actually irrelevant. You need to confess those and then step out and show maybe them from your experience what failing to do what God says happened in your life, and then tell them here's what you should do and teach them what is good. Just confess your sin, be restored, and step out and be teachers of what is good. Now, you older women who have failed recognize so acutely the danger of not thinking biblically. You see it in your lives. And then thus not behaving righteously. Just confess it. Receive God's forgiveness. Praise God, His Son died for your sins. You are totally forgiven. You are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Don't dishonor what Christ did by feeling guilty. Step forward and trust the Lord and be obedient. Boy, what would Peter have been like if he just would have moaned and groaned the rest of his life about denying Christ? Accept forgiveness, be restored, and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. This is crucial for the body of Christ. It's crucial for this body. Older women are to be teachers of what is good. Formally, informally, you're to be a teacher of what is good. Now again, to do this, two things must happen. You need to know what to teach. You need to know the Word of God. And just in Titus 2, as we go through it, you will see seven things that you ought to know about that you can relate from the Word of God to younger women concerning their husbands and their families and their home life. And secondly, you need to be around the body of Christ. You will never be a teacher of good isolated in your own life. You've got to be around the body of Christ. You need to consider others as more important than yourself. And the reason why people are not together is because of sin. Continually, habitually, if you are selfishly thinking, you will not be around the body of Christ. And when you just give it up and you come and get around the body of Christ, God blesses you. It's wonderful to be around the body of Christ. And if you don't have a desire to do that, I would ask you to examine your hearts. See if you're in the faith. Love for his saints is an evidence that you are truly saved. Older women, you have an extremely important mandate from God. It affects younger women. It affects their children. It affects their families. It affects a lot of people. It is extremely important. You are to be teachers of good. Sound doctrine from the scripture concerning younger women and their families so that the younger women will think rightly in Christ and thus behave rightly. That's the first reason directly why you should be doing it. Now, secondly, there is an indirect reason why you should be teachers of what is good. Again, verse 4, the end of 3. Teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. Here's the second indirect reason, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Now, specifically, it's the word of God being dishonored because of younger women not obeying the commands. But if you older women are not teaching them, then you are indirectly responsible for the word of God being literally blasphemed, spoken against. When someone claims to be a believer in Christ and they live a life other than what is revealed in Scripture, God's word is spoken against. It is blasphemed. And you don't want to be the cause of that. You don't want to be the cause of God being blasphemed. It's serious stuff. It's not a choice. Well, maybe I'll teach them. Maybe I won't. God says this is what you are to be, and to do this, you have to give up your life. You have to give up your desires and your hopes and let God fulfill your life with Christ and His will, which is so much infinitely more glorious than our conception of what we think we should be doing. What is the consequence if young Christian women do not think rightly and behave in such a fashion as revealed in the Word? The Word is blasphemed. It's blasphemed. It's serious. Serious. You can cause, by your actions in Christ, this great beauty to be manifest in the lives of His people, this intrinsic good manifest in a beautiful way, or you can cause God to be spoken against. That's really the two sides here. There's no in between. It's serious. Do you realize the consequences for not obeying God here? Word of God dishonored, blasphemed, spoken against. Ladies, if you see your life as your own and you don't come and get involved in the body of Christ, teaching the younger women formally and informally, then you are indirectly causing the word of God to be blasphemed and you will give an account. Now, our sins are forgiven and there is no condemnation for those in Christ, but there is a judgment. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we'll stand before the judgment seat that we may be rewarded for the things done in the body, good and bad. And folks, I hope you want to see Christ glorified in the things that He allowed you to do, where you trusted Him, you shared the Word of God, and there was fruit. And in heaven, in eternity, there will be great glory given to God because of what He did. I want to be a part of that. Paul certainly did, 1 Thessalonians 2. He was looking forward to presenting the Thessalonians and older women who have an opportunity to share the Word of God, and you are called to be teachers of good. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you formally or informally taught the younger women sound doctrine from God's Word concerning their role in their relationship to their husbands and their children and their home life? When did you come up to someone, and they may reject you? That happens. When did you graciously, after prayerfully noting something and praying and trusting the Lord, come to someone and say, I'd love to sit down and have coffee with you and share the Word of God with you, just like what we're seeing in Titus 2. And younger women, you need to humble yourselves and allow yourself to be taught by the older women for God's glory. When's the last time you did that? If you're just a Sunday saint, it's not happening, at least in this body. Maybe it's happening somewhere else. We need to be together. so that God will be glorified, so that good will be manifest as beautiful in the body of Christ, and His word will not be spoken against. Now, some of you are saying, how can I do this? How can I get the strength to talk to somebody? But I see these issues. I see so-and-so. She's not taking care of her kids. I love her. I want to talk to her about this. I want to talk about these issues. I want to share the word of God with her. How can I do this? Again, our whole passage hinges on verse 11. Come down to verse 11 with me. Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God's grace brought about your salvation in Christ. That same grace now is instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. It's God's grace through Christ, through His word, instructing us now to do it. Only Christ can help you do it, and you trust Him, He will do it. God says to you, you're to be teachers of good. God will empower you to be teachers of good. He will prove Himself faithful if you trust Him. You will rejoice in His faithfulness if you step out and obey Him. Today we've seen the conclusion of what older women are to be. And if you are an older woman, regardless of how many years you've known Christ, by the virtue that you have lived much life, you have seen the vanity of following your own desires. And now in Christ you see the glory of trusting Him. You are called here in Scripture, and we see what you are to be. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. That should describe you. And if it does, and it's God working through you, then praise God. If it doesn't, just confess your sin. Tell the Lord you're sorry. I'm sorry I haven't been this way. And ask Him to reveal why. What areas of sin in my life have been in the way where I haven't been obeying Him? And step forward. You are to be reverent, holy, almost priestly in your walk. You're not to slander like Satan. You're not to be controlled by wine. And you are to be a teacher of what is good. I hope and pray that our older women continue, as I see it in some, and that all our older women are teachers of good. If God hasn't provided someone for you to teach yet, be willing. Tell Him you want to do it. Lord, provide that person. Open the door. Come and be part of the body of Christ. Serve the Lord God. And God will open those doors, those circumstances, for you to share those truths informally or formally, to graciously come alongside the younger women and just share His wonderful truth. And I would exhort you to be here or get the CD and listen to the rest of this passage in terms of what you are to be sharing with the younger women. Are you an older woman? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? This is what you are to be. And only God can make you this way when you step out in obedience. Consequences are great. Either you will teach what is good with the result of a manifest, beautiful holiness, or women will not be taught and the word of God will be blasphemed. It's my desire, and I know it's God's desire here, that you are teachers of what is good. Father, You are so good. You are so gracious. You don't leave us in the dark in what we are to be. Just in a simple verse, out of so many verses in Scripture, You declare what older women are to be. I pray for every older woman in this body that they would be not fretting now, how can I do this, but that they would just be saying to You, Lord, I am willing. I want to obey this command. I want to do what You want me to do. Open the doors. Help me not to fear man, but help me fear You. And I pray they would step out in glorious obedience, righteously sharing Your word for Your glory, regardless of how it's received. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who has failed greatly. I pray that they would just come before You and receive forgiveness. Just confess their sin and be forgiven and move forward, Lord God, and be a glorious example of an older woman so that You will be greatly magnified. Thank You that You redeemed us through Your Son as a people for Your own possession, that we would proclaim Your excellencies. May we do so in word and in deed. In Jesus' name, amen.